Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, entitled The Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, Text number 3. Translation. O King Parikshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramachandra have been described by great saintly persons who have seen the truth. Because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramachandra, the husband of Mother Sita, I shall describe these activities only in brief. Please listen. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Modern Rakshasas, posing as educationally advanced merely because they have doctorates, have tried to prove that Lord Ramachandra is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but an ordinary person. But those who are learned and spiritually advanced, Jai Shri Radha Goloka Ananda Bhagavan ki. Those who are learned and spiritually advanced will never accept such notions. They will accept the descriptions of Lord Ramachandra and his activities only as presented by Tattvadarshis, those who know the absolute truth. In Bhagavad Gita 4.34, the Supreme Personality of Godhead advises, Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshina. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Unless one is tattvadarshi, in complete knowledge of the absolute truth, one cannot describe the activities of the personality of Godhead. Therefore, although there are many so-called Ramayans or histories of Lord Ramachandra's activities, some of them are not actually authoritative. Sometimes, Lord Ramachandra's activities are described in terms of one's own imagination, speculation, or material sentiments. But the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra should not be handled as something imaginary. While describing the history of Lord Ramachandra, Shukadeva Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit, "You have already heard about the activities of Lord Ramachandra. Apparently, therefore, 5,000 years ago, there were many Ramayans or histories of Lord Ramachandra's activities. And there are many still. But we must select only those books written by Tattvadarshis, Jnaninas Tattvadarshina, not the books of so-called scholars who claim knowledge only on the basis of a doctorate." This is a warning by Shukadeva Goswami, Rishibhis Tattvadarshibhi. Although the Ramayana composed by Valmiki is a huge literature, the same activities are summarized here by Shukadeva Goswami in a few verses. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutaha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Shute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Very honored and grateful to be amidst all of you all here today in this very beautiful temple of Bhaktivedanta Manor. It's been a matter of great privilege to be speaking amongst all of you all here today. So, as was announced, I'm going to speak on the subject matter, topic known as Jewels from the Ramayana. So, in my little humble attempt of studying the Ramayana and trying to understand the Ramayana, I have gathered a lot of jewels. And there are some things that have really touched my heart. I'm just going to share some of those stories and some of those lessons, understandings from it, from that with all of you all here today. The purport which I just read, I didn't plan to read it. I didn't even know that this is what is written in the purport. I just randomly chose a verse that was small, basically, you know, because the rest of the verses are like prose, really massive verses. So I just chose a verse that is small and a very interesting purport that Prabhupada is sharing in this context that I'm trying to write based on the Ramayana. It's very inspiring for me personally. So I would like to share some thoughts from the Ramayana with you all. These are just going to be very random things that are in different parts of the Ramayana, just picked up according to my tastes and likings. Hopefully some of these things will inspire you all in your personal spiritual lives and in your appreciation of the Ramayana. There is a poet in South India whose name is Kamba Muni. He wrote a Ramayana which is known as Kamba Ramayana. This is Tamil poetry. And of course, when he wrote the Kamba Ramayana originally, initially in South India, people are just not able to understand what he's trying to do. In fact, there were many Sri Vaishnavas who were actually criticizing him that how can this fellow write a Ramayana when Valmiki Ramayana is already there, you know. So Kamba Muni, he did something very interesting. There is a temple in South India which is known as Srirangam. I'm sure all of you have heard of Srirangam. So this story happened in Srirangam itself. So Kamba, he was a Tamilian living in Srirangam, not really born in a very scholarly family, very simple background. But he had a great love for Lord Ram and his pastimes. So in the Ramayana, in the Kamba Ramayana, there is one place where this description of Narsingadev. So the Sri Vaishnava's main problem was, how can Narsingadev come in Ramayana? So they kind of prevented people from reading the Kamba Ramayana, saying that this is not authentic. So Kamba Muni, what he did was, he sat in the Srirangam temple, Ranganath's temple. There is a particular altar of Narsingadev in that temple, basically. So he sat outside the altar of Narsingadev and he recited his whole Kamba Ramayana, basically. And this particular section, when he was reading out the section of Narsingadev, so essentially what he wrote was about how Lord Ram had got angry like Narsingadev, you know. And then he wrote a little bit of Narsingadev's pastime there in that. So when he started reading this section of his writing, the deity of Narsingadev, he picked up, raised his hand like this. So even till today, if you go to the Srirangam and if you go to the deity of Narsingadev at the back of the temple, you'll actually find Narsingadev's hand like this. It's probably the only deity of Narsingadev in the entire universe whose hand is on top like that. So essentially Narsingadev approved his Ramayana, and from that point onwards, the Sri Vaishnavas also accepted the Kamba Ramayana very nicely. The reason I'm telling this story is to just to bring one point in front of you all. Kamba Muni, when he compares his understanding of the Ramayana, he says Valmiki Ramayana is like an ocean of milk. Huge ocean of milk. And Kamba Muni says, I am like a cat. So I am standing in front of this ocean of milk. There is so much milk to drink. But I am a cat and my capacity to drink is so small. So I am just drinking as much as I can and I am producing it in the form of this book. So if Kamba Muni is comparing himself to a cat, so all of us are probably like ants, you know. Our capacity to handle the ocean of milk of the Valmiki Ramayana is like hardly anything. One drop is enough to drown us. So we are going to drink 2 drops. Today, 1 drop, and tomorrow, 1 drop. That's, I guess, good enough for us. So giving that background, we'll share some thoughts from the Ramayana. So when Hanumanji went to Ashok Vatika to meet Mother Sita, something very interesting happened over there. And that really shows the mood of Hanumanji. So Hanuman, he was it had taken a very tiny form. And he was observing what Mother Sita was doing. In fact, Mother Sita was very despondent at that point of time. And she was actually on the verge of committing suicide. Because Raman had been troubling her, torturing her like anything. It's been months together. No sign of Lord Ram. So Sita on that particular day was very disturbed. And she was actually on the verge of committing suicide. At that time, Hanumanji comes over there. And he sees Mother Sita. She is so despondent. So he wants to give her hope. So he's thinking, how do I give her hope? And in the process of wanting to give Mother Sita hope, he starts reciting the Ramayana. So interestingly, in the Ramayana itself, there are 3 suicide attempts. One is Mother Sita attempts this. Then the monkey army, when they're trying to search for Mother Sita, and they're not able to find any trace of her, they come to the southern shore of the southern ocean, and they're so despondent, they all decide that we're going to fast to death. So they're also attempting to commit suicide. And then much after the whole war of Ram Ravan gets over, and then Ram is coming back to Ayodhya, Bharat is almost on the verge of committing suicide, because Bharat had given an instruction to Ram that if he doesn't come on the 14th, last day of the 14th year of the exile, he will not live for one more day also. So in all the 3 cases, the solution to people who have desired to commit suicide and they need some hope, is the Ramayana itself. So here in where Sita is in this situation, Hanumanji starts reciting the Ramayana. And in Bharat's situation also, Hanumanji recites the Ramayana. And when the monkeys are despondent, that time also Hanumanji recites the Ramayana. So interestingly, if somebody is in this mood of committing suicide, you probably can recommend to them, you know, to try reciting Ramayana, to try hearing Ramayana. That might give them some hope. So Hanumanji, he takes this very tiny form and he's hiding behind a leaf and he's reciting the Ramayana. Sita could hear, but she couldn't see the speaker. This is the mood of a good narrator of Harikatha, Ramkatha. So a good narrator wants to be heard, but doesn't want to be seen. So generally, in today's time and age, we find so many speakers of Bhagavad Katha, Harikatha, you know, professional reciters, speakers, who want to be seen, they want to keep Krishna and Ram behind them, you know. They hide God behind them and they want to project themselves ahead. Opposed to that, this is Hanumanji here, who is keeping himself hidden. But he is projecting Ram ahead. He is inspiring Mother Sita to hear Ram. So, at some point, Sita is very desperate to see who is speaking so beautifully. And then, when she is looking desperately for Hanumanji, then Hanumanji jumps ahead. So, when Hanumanji jumps in front of Mother Sita, so Sita kind of gets a little taken aback and she turns her face away. So much later, Sita asks Hanumanji, this is much later when they reach Ayodhya, Sita asks Hanumanji, when you came in front of me for the first time, I turned my face away from you. Did you feel bad about it? Generally, when you are seeing somebody for the first time, it's most unnatural that you will turn your face away. You will try to face, be a little cordial. So Hanumanji gave a very interesting answer to Mother Sita. He told her, Mother, what was worth hearing you heard and what was not worth seeing you didn't see. Hanumanji was so humble that he actually, you know, felt that he was not worth seeing. So Hanumanji, he takes this very tiny form for a particular reason. He wanted to hear the word son from Mother Sita. He wanted to hear Sita calling him a son. And therefore, he took a tiny form because Vatsalya Bhav is very easy. You know, when somebody is in a tiny shape. So Hanumanji, he starts telling Mother Sita, why don't you come with me? I'll take you to Lord Ram. Now Sita is a little confused because he's so small in size and he's telling her, you come with me. So instead of asking him directly, she asks him an indirect question. She asks him, are all the monkeys in Ram's army same size as you? So Sita, she tells Hanumanji realizes what Sita is trying to say. So Hanumanji shows his huge form, massive size. So now seeing that huge form of Hanumanji, Sita asks him, what is your original size? Are you small? Are you big? You know, it's so confusing sometimes. You know, people keep changing their sizes. And Hanumanji gives a very interesting answer, which shows what the mood of a good devotee is. He tells Mother Sita that, my dear mother, my original size is that I am small. But for the service of the Lord, I can take any shape, any size. Which essentially is a very important instruction from a spiritual point of view. Because our understanding of humility sometimes is a little mistaken. For us, humility sometimes means that I am insignificant, I am useless, I am nothing, I can't do anything. You know, so we get into this whole mood of self-thrashing. You know, we just consider ourselves to be insignificant, which is nice. But look at Hanumanji's way of putting it. He's saying, my original size is small, but for the mission of the Lord, I can take any size. What is the meaning of any size? Hanumanji is actually talking about responsibilities. The proportion, enormity of responsibilities. So essentially Hanuman is trying to say that though I consider myself to be insignificant, but the Lord can empower me to do anything big. And of course, when you do something big, you don't think it is because of you. Because you understand consciously that you are insignificant and you are small. But the Lord can empower you to do anything big. When we understand who a saint is and who a non-saint is, it's many times in Kali Yuga, it's very difficult to understand the difference between a saint and a non-saint. Because apparently, a non-saintly person can also be disguised as a saint. In the Ramayana, there's a very interesting episode where Hanumanji is on the way towards the north to get the Sanjeevani herbs to revive Lakshman during the war. So as Hanuman is going towards the north, right in the middle of his path, there's a sage who's standing. This actually is not a sage. It's a demon named Kalanemi, who has been sent by Ravan to stop Hanumanji and to kill Hanumanji. So this demon named Kalanemi, he disguises himself as a saint. He's in saffron. He's standing over there on the mountain. So Hanumanji realizes that he's a saint. So I should just go and pay my respects to him. He gets down. And Kalanemi, he begins to talk to Hanumanji. He tells him, even before Hanumanji introduces himself, even before, you know, any discussion begin, this fellow starts speaking. He says, I know that you are Hanuman and you are a part of Lord Ram's army. And I know you are going to the Himalayas to get this herb. And I know the Ram-Ravan war is going on. And I can predict that Ram will win and Ravan will lose. And he also says that I have the capacity to give you blessings, that you find the herb over there. So now if you look at what exactly he is speaking, Kalanemi, what he is speaking, the words he is speaking apparently seems to be Ram Katha. Because he is glorifying Ram. He is saying that Ram is going to be victorious, he is saying that Ravan is going to get defeated and all that. But Hanumanji could make out that this is not Ram Katha. Because externally he seems to be glorifying Ram, but in reality he is glorifying himself. Because he is saying, I know the future. He is saying, I have the power to give you blessings. He is saying, I can predict what is going to happen in the future. So he is actually not speaking Ram Katha. He is glorifying himself. So the difference between a saintly person and a non-saintly person is that a saintly person even subtly doesn't glorify himself. But a non-saintly person, externally, though he may be speaking Ram Katha and Krishna Katha, he is actually speaking about his own glory only. When Hanuman goes to Lanka and he finds, he is in a discussion with Vibhishan. So Vibhishan asks him, who are you? So Hanumanji, he does not say, I am Pavanputra. He does not say, I have swallowed the sun in my childhood. He doesn't say, I can expand in any size. He doesn't say, I have got so many blessings. He doesn't say all that. When Vibhishan asks him, who are you? He only tells him that I am the servant of Ram. Dasoham Kaushalendasya, I am servant of Ram. And he starts glorifying Ram a lot. So Vibhishan, he says, that's all fine, but tell me what your name is. Who are you? Finally, Hanumanji, after a couple of times talking about Ram only, glorifying his master only, he finally says, my name is Hanuman, but if you take my name, you will get unlimited amount of sin. That's it. So apparently if you look, compare Kalanemi's speaking of Ramkatha and Hanumanji speaking of Ramkatha, both are Ramkatha. Both apparently are glorifying Ram as, you know, victorious and all that. But the difference between a saint and a non-saint is that when a saint speaks Ramkatha, there is no glorification of himself. But when a non-saint speaks Ramkatha, along with Ramkatha, there is also subtle glorification of himself constantly coming in. And that's what differentiates a saint from a non-saint. So, in this section where Mother Sita is being kidnapped by Ravan, just before that, there is one episode where Sita is inspiring Lakshman, go and help your brother. So in that section, Lakshman laughs. So Sita is very concerned about Ram, and Lakshman is like, you know, is very cool about it, is very casual about it. So Sita tells him, Ram is in trouble, go and help him. Lakshman starts laughing. So apparently from Sita's point of view, it's a very disturbing thing to see when your brother is in trouble, why will you laugh? So Sita misunderstands the laughter of Lakshman. But the Acharyas explain why Lakshman laughed. Lakshman was thinking at that point of time that whenever a living entity, a Jivatma is in trouble, whenever we all fall in trouble, we call out to God, Hey Ram, Hey Krishna, help me, save me, you know. So Lakshman is thinking, I have never seen that God is in trouble and he's calling out living entity, please save me, you know. So that's why Lakshman laughs basically. And Sita misunderstands the laughter of Lakshman. There's one very beautiful section where there's one devotee who's been asked this question. And it's a very thought-provoking question. So somebody asks him, which Ram do you like? Do you like the Ram of Ayodhya? Do you like the Ram of Kishkinda? Do you like the Ram who is in Dandakaranya forest? Do you like the Ram who is in Panchavati? Which Ram do you like? So this devotee, he says, I like the Ram who is in Lanka. So now, Ram in Lanka is, it's a war form of Ram, you know, warrior form of Ram. So he said, why out of all these forms of Ram, why do you like the Ram in Lanka more than anything else? So this devotee gives a very interesting explanation. He says that in all other places, Ram was invited. In Ayodhya, Dasharath invited him, Putra Kama Shri Yagya, and you know, Dasharath invited him. In Panchavati, he was invited by, you know, Kabanda told him, go to this particular place. Agastya told him to go to Panchavati. Then from Panchavati, you know, Kabanda told him to go to Kishkinda. So every place, either Hanumanji invited him, or some saint invited him, or something or the other. Basically, he was invited. He didn't go on his own to any of these places. The only place Ram went uninvited is Lanka. So he says, the devotee is saying, my heart is like Lanka, dark. And if I want to, I mean, if I ever want Ram to come into my heart, he has to come uninvited, because I am personally not going to invite him because I have so many material desires. So the only hope for me is a Ram that goes to Lanka, because he goes on his own and he goes and destroys all the anarthas on his own, though he is not invited over there. So that is the form of the Lord I like the most. So this whole episode of Ram being banished to the forest and Bharat coming and going to Chitrakoot can be understood in an allegorical format. Very interesting thought process that the Acharyas give on how we can understand this. So physical diseases are sometimes contagious and sometimes they are not contagious. But mental diseases are always contagious. So, when somebody is sick in a family, generally the family members all fall sick one after another, you know. It's like typically that's what happens. But if a king is sick, if a leader is sick, mentally, the entire population can get sick, affected by that sickness. So, in Ayodhya, the only person who was sick originally was Manthara. She was sick because she had this disease of envy in her mind. So she was the one who spread the disease to Kaikeyi. Kaikeyi was completely alright in the beginning. You know, if you actually study the Ramayana, she loved Ram more than her own sons. More than her own son, Bharat. He just loved him so much. But just because somebody is healthy doesn't mean that you won't fall sick. So Manthara affected Kaikeyi with her germs. So few hours of association with Manthara, Kaikeyi got sick now. So the proof that Kaikeyi was sick was that she went to the Kopa Bhavan. So there is, in the olden times, in the palaces, there would be different rooms for different things. For laughing, there would be one room. For crying, there would be another room, you know. So typically, if you go to Kopa Bhavan, if you go to a room where you're going to cry and sulk, it essentially means you're mentally sick, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't go there. So Kaikeyi was mentally affected. She was sick. She went and she was lying down in Kopa Bhavan. And Dasharath, he was completely all right first. And Dasharath knew that Kaikeyi is sick because she was in Kopa Bhavan. Everybody told him that she is sulking and he's... So Dasharath, he thought that he will go to Kopa Bhavan and help the Kaikeyi who is sick to get revived. Now, when somebody is sick, when a patient is sick, unless you're a doctor, you shouldn't go to the patient. Ideally, Dasharath should have sent Vasishta, who is a guru, who is a doctor of Ayodhya, basically, to deal with Kaikeyi's mental sickness. But Dasharath had the confidence that I will go and revive her. So he went down. So initially, if you see in that section of the Kopa Bhavan, what happens inside that chamber, Kaikeyi was lying on the floor and Dasharath was standing. He was confident. He knew that he will be able to revive her. In 10 minutes of discussion with Dasharath, Dasharath was lying on the floor and Kaikeyi was standing. Complete reversal of the roles, you know. And interestingly, when Dasharath fell sick, in a few minutes, the entire Ayodhya fell sick. Everyone in Ayodhya was crying. This is the result of a leader falling sick, mentally sick, you know. So an entire country, everyone was affected by the sickness. And when society and mankind are sick, then God and peace leaves that place. Sita and Ram left Ayodhya. In a sick society, when mankind is sick, the society is sick, you don't expect Ram and Sita to stay there. So they walked away from Ayodhya. So now Ayodhya was left with only one person who was alright, and that was Vasishta, the Guru. Now Vasishta was thinking, I have to revive so many sick people, I have to treat so many sick people, I can't do it alone. So therefore he called Bharat, who was not in Ayodhya, who was somewhere else and who was not sick. He called Bharat to help him. So Bharat came all the way to Ayodhya, and when he saw the situation of Ayodhya, when he saw that everybody is sick so badly, he didn't say, don't worry, I will revive everyone. He said, the only person who can revive everybody's sickness is Ram. I will take everybody to Chitrakoot. So Bharat represents a devotee who is not overconfident of his own greatness, of his own ability to revive sick minds. He understands the way a sick mind can be revived is by association with Ram only. So Bharat arranged for everybody to be taken all the way to Chitrakoot. He created roads, he created facilities, he did so much. And finally, when everybody was in Chitrakoot, the moment they got Ram's association, they interacted with Ram, immediately all of them got rid of the sickness. And then Ayodhya was revived again, you know. So that's the whole understanding of, you know, this whole Ram Bharat Milap episode. There are many other stories in the Ramayana where there are some beautiful understandings of how devotees connect with one another and devotees glorify one another, you know, and how devotees are very sensitive towards one another's feelings. When Hanumanji came back from Lanka, you know, with the news of Mother Sita, so Ram was very, very happy with Hanumanji. So Ram told Hanumanji, my dear Hanuman, I love you twice as much as Lakshman. Two times more than Lakshman. So Ram looked at Hanuman and he asked him, are you happy with this statement, with this comment? You know? So Hanumanji said, my dear Lord, and Lakshman was standing there. You know? So it's not that, you know, Ram said it behind Lakshman. He just right in front of Lakshman. So Hanumanji told Lord Ram, my dear Lord, when you are saying that you love me twice as much as Lakshman, you are actually glorifying Lakshman only. Ram was surprised. How is he glorifying Lakshman when he's saying, I love you twice as much as Lakshman? So he says, when somebody says that I love you more than my life, that's the general statement you say, you know. But you said, I love you more than Lakshman, which means for you, Lakshman is your life. So that means I am somebody outside and Lakshman is a part of yourself practically. So that means your love for Lakshman is much, much more superior than the love that you have for me, you know. And then Ram turns towards Lakshman and he asked him, what did you feel? Did you feel sad that I told that I love Hanuman twice more than you? And Lakshman had a very different approach towards the whole thing. This is exactly how devotees are. So sensitive and so selfless. Happy that other devotees get glorified so much. So Lakshman tells Lord Ram that, my dear Lord, what you said is right. When you say that you loved Hanuman twice as much as me, that's absolutely right. Because Lakshman said that I stayed with Mother Sita for 25 years. After 25 years being with Mother Sita, I could not win her faith. I couldn't. She still doubted me after 25 years. She doubted my character, you know. But Hanumanji was with Sita only for a few minutes. But she trusted him so much completely in just a few minutes. What I couldn't do in 25 years, Hanumanji did in a few minutes. Therefore, Hanumanji is naturally more greater than me. And then Lakshman also says, so Lakshman's original swarup in the spiritual world is his Adishesh, you know, his Anantashesh, the spiritual world, the snake bed of the Lord. So Lakshman was telling Lord Ram, my dear Lord, my duty in the spiritual world is to carry you. So I'm like your snake bed, I carry you on my body, you know. But Hanumanji is so great that he carries you and me together on his shoulders, you know. So naturally Hanumanji is 2 times more greater than him. So both of them, Hanuman and Lakshman, they're trying to glorify the other person rather than glorifying themselves. This is the greatness of devotees, and this is the greatness of devotees' ability to see good in every person. Hanumanji, when he came back, he was touching Lord Ram's feet. He touched Lord Ram's feet. And when Hanuman touched Ram's feet, Ram held his shoulders. Generally, when somebody touches your feet, you hold the shoulders to pick him up, right? So Ram held his shoulders. Hanumanji told Lord Ram, my dear Lord, let us remain like this only forever. Yeah. So the understanding that the Acharyas give is that Hanuman is saying, he's telling the Lord, as long as my feet are at my hands are at your feet, your hands will be on my shoulders. So what is the meaning of shoulder? The shoulder is indicative of doing things, right? So when Ram's hand is on the shoulder, that means he gives the empowerment to do things, to do great things. So Hanumanji is saying, as long as my hand is at your feet, your hand will be on my shoulders. But the moment I remove my hand from your feet, you'll remove your hand from my shoulders. He said, this is the position I want to be always. That kind of really shows Hanumanji's mood of, showing that everything that he gained in his life is gained by the power of Lord Ram's association and his the prayers. I'll end with one very interesting episode that happens in the Ramayana. This is about how some people, no matter how many signs they see, they won't change. In Hindi, we have a special category of such people, you know. We call them as HNS category, you know. Typically means hum nahi sudharenge category, you know. This is a Hindi terminology. Sudharenge means change, you know. I will not change no matter what happens, you know. So Ravan falls under this category, basically. So, at some point during the Ram-Ravan war, Ravan went to Bali Maharaj to seek for help, saying, you know, that Bali is finally a daitya. So he said, one daitya can help another daitya. So he said, let me go and ask for Bali Maharaj for help, because in the past he has defeated the demigods also, you know. So when he went to Bali Maharaj and I asked him, said, you know, there are 2 human beings who have come with a band of monkeys. They're troubling me too much. Can you help me? So Bali Maharaj knew what he's talking about, you know. So Bali Maharaj says, what's the problem? You are such a powerful person. So Ravan says, there were 3 monkeys who came into my life and harassed me like anything. He said, the first monkey came and burnt my Lanka, you know. The second monkey came. He said, one day I was standing in front of the mirror. Ravan was looking at himself in the mirror. And suddenly he felt a little wet on his head. And he saw up, there was Sugriv. He had taken a very tiny shape and he was spitting on him. So his head had become wet with the spit of Sugriv. So he tried to hold Sugriv. Sugriv jumped off. Somehow he saved himself, basically. So Ravan said, first monkey came and burnt my Lanka. Second monkey came and spat on me and went away. And a third monkey came. So just before the war, Ram sent Angad to Ravan to give him the final warning. So he told Angad, tell Ravan, even at this point of time, if you give back Sita, we will not have the war. And millions of lives can be saved. So when Angad came, this monkey came, he came and stood in the courtroom of Ravan. And he told Ravan, I have come as a messenger from Lord Ram. Give back Sita. So, you know, Ravan says, get lost. I will not give back Sita. So Angad tells him, see, this is the last warning, last chance you're getting. So Ravan asks him, who are you? And Angad says, I am the son of Vali. So as soon as Ravan hears the name Vali, he falls down from his seat literally, you know, because Ravan has had a fight with Vali in the past and Vali has beaten him so badly that Ravan has, and then of course they became friends. So basically Ravan had gone once to kill Vali, you know, because he knew that Vali had certain powers by which he could get half the strength of the enemy, you know, when he looks at the enemy. So Ravan went from behind and he wanted to hold Vali's tail and swing him and kill him, basically. So Vali was performing Gayatri in the southern ocean. So when Ravan went from behind, so when he caught Vali's tail, the tail began to grow and it tied up Ravan like anything. It just squeezed him. So Vali had this habit of performing Gayatri in the four oceans every time. So three times he would perform in four oceans. You can imagine his capacity to, you know, travel. So he jumped from the southern ocean to the northern side and Ravan was hanging on the tail. Can you imagine? Ravan, the powerful Ravan hanging on the tail of a monkey, you know. So Vali did the Gayatri in all the four oceans, then released Ravan. And then he asked him, what do you want? So Ravan, he told him, I've come to become your friend. Actually, he had come to kill him. But when he saw Vali's power, he said, I want to be your friend. And that's how Vali and Ravan became friends. And of course, their friendship was also such a horrible friendship. The pact. So they actually created a fire yajna. And they circumvented the fire seven times, sealing their friendship. Witness as Agni, you know. And the basis of their friendship was, whatever is mine is yours and whatever is yours is mine. My wealth is your wealth is my wealth. My wife is your wife is my wife. Can you imagine? This is the Ramayana time era, having such a kind of dealing basically. So Vali and Ravan both have the same mindset practically, you know. So so Ravan, when he heard the name Vali, he practically collapsed, you know, he got scared. So he said, I am the son of Vali. So Ravan asked him, how is Vali? So Angad said, Vali is dead. So Ravan got bewildered. He said, how can Vali die? Impossible. So Angad said, Ram killed Vali with one arrow. That was too much for Ravan. So he said, Vali's chest is like a thunderbolt. His back is like the peak of a mountain. How can anybody kill him with one arrow? And Angad gives a graphic example also. He says, just like a pin, you can poke a pin through a ripe banana. It doesn't take really much to poke a ripe banana. It's just so easy, right? She said, exactly like that, Ram's arrow went through Vali's chest. So Ravan was bewildered. So Angad said, I'm telling you, even now, give back Sita, your life will be saved. So Ravan didn't care. Yes, HNS category, you know. So Ravan told, Angad tells Vali, Ravan, I'll give you a challenge. See if you can handle this. He said, he put his feet on the ground. He said, you remove my feet from the ground and show. If you can just displace my feet from this ground, then I'll accept that you can defeat Ram. So Ravan didn't want to, you know, be insulted by touching a monkey's feet. So he told his son, you throw this monkey out. So Indrajit comes. Indrajit has defeated Indra. He comes and tries to shake Angad's feet. But not even 1 inch he could shake Angad's feet. So then Ravan himself comes and he uses both his hands to shake Angad's feet. Nothing. Ravan uses his 20 hands to shake Angad's feet. Nothing. So Angad tells him, I'll make life easier for you. He tells him, I'm only going to put my right toe on the ground. You shake the right toe and show me. You know. Can you imagine? Ravan with all his strength couldn't move one single toe of Angad. So Ravan tells Bali Maharaj these three stories. He said, one monkey came and burnt my city. One monkey came and spat on me and went away. And a third monkey came, I couldn't even shake his feet. You know. So Bali Maharaj tells him, don't you think that these are not ordinary people? Don't you think you should just give up Sita and, you know, save your life? Ravan says, no, I came here to ask you for help. Please give me help. So Bali Maharaj takes him to his garden and shows him a huge mountain of gold. And Ravan, you know, whenever he sees gold, he goes crazy, you know. So Ravan, he just jumps to the mountain. He's like trying to pick up the mountain. He can't lift the mountain at all. So Bali Maharaj tells him, so Ravan asks him, what is this? So Bali Maharaj tells him, if you can lift it, you can take it with you. So Ravan is trying his best to lift it. He can't move it at all. Then finally, Bali Maharaj takes Ravan to a top of a terrace. And on top of the terrace, they see it's actually a earring, a golden earring. So Ravan asks him, whose earring is this? Bali Maharaj tells him, this is the earring of Hiranyaksha. In your previous life, you were Hiranyaksha. And this was a earring in your ears. And when you had this fight with Varahadev, Varahadev gave you one tight slap on your cheeks. And this earring fell over here, you know. So that same Varahadev has come as Lord Ram. And you have come as Ravan. Your power is decreased, but Ram's power is exactly the same. He said, give back Sita. After that also Ravan said, not possible. Hum nahi sudharenge, you know. So essentially, this is Ramayana in short. There are some people who will not change, and there are some people who are ready to be so sensitive towards dealings with other devotees and the Lord. So the comparison between these two is what is the Ramayana. The Ramayana is about three cities, Ayodhya, Kishkinda and Lanka. The city of Ayodhya is a city of high character. The city of Lanka is a city of low character. And the city of Kishkinda is in between the two. So some of the monkeys in Kishkinda are of high character like the Ayodhyavasis, like Hanumanji. And some of the monkeys in Kishkinda are very low character like the Lankavasis, Wali. And there are some monkeys in between, Sugriv, who are highly confused. Sometimes they act like Kishkindavasis, like Ayodhyavasis, sometimes they act like Lankavasis. So that's where we fall in, you know, all of us fall in that category. Highly confused monkeys. And therefore, the monkeys in the Ramayana are called as Vanara. The word Vanara means, it's a question. Nara means human, and Vanara means, it's a question. Are you human? So every monkey in Kishkinda has to ask himself this question. Are you human? That means, if I behave like Ayodhyavasis, then I'm a human. If I behave like Lankavasis, then I'm a monkey. So this is what allegorically we understand from the Ramayana. Of course, we will stop here. We'll continue tomorrow in this aspect of the three cities of Ramayana, and we'll take it further. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any quick questions or comments?